Curry News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Weissman?
Here.
Mr. Reggio? Roy's here. Mr. Blount?
Here.
Mr. Hidaka?
Here.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Here.
Mr. Ali?
Here.
And Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for a salute to the flag?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag.
United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Keneally, are there any changes to tonight's agenda?
Yes, there are. The application of T-Mobile, 1711 South 2nd Street, is adjourned until May 8th. They must notice the 200-foot list. The application of Parkway Plastics is postponed until May 22nd, 2025, with no further notice by the applicant. Those are all the changes I have this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally. Let's move on to item number 7, 25-ZB-15V, Michael Grab.
Is Michael Grab present?
That is I, yes.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth?
I do.
Your name and address, please.
Michael Grab, 2 Vera Street, Piscataway.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board why you're here?
I have an existing fence that was built when I bought the house. It was there. It was on the plans when I bought the house. I was given a summons or a notice that it was not meeting standards for the town. So that's why I'm here to apply for a variance for my fence.
Ms. Rahi, can you help us out here for a minute?
Certainly. So a 25-foot setback off of William Street is required. Our staff report proposes a 15-foot setback with a landscape buffer to soften the 6-foot vinyl fence.
Is that something you could do, Mr. Grab?
That's kind of a big ask, but I'd like to keep the fence as it is, considering it's been there the entire time. I understand the stance of Piscataway, but my stance is that it's been there for 30 years now, if not longer, and nothing's changed in that area at all.
In order to be grandfathered in, you would have to prove that it was there in 1953.
Yeah, I understand that. I asked when I went. I'm willing to, give a little bit. I would like it to be a little closer to the property line than 15, if possible.
It's a good compromise, Mr. Grab. Sometimes we have to go to the letter of the law and make it the amount. So Jonathan is very flexible and very accommodating when he comes up with these numbers, and I don't think we could ask for anything more at this point.
Okay. If grant the variance at this length, and I get pricing to have it moved, and if I get pricing to replace it with a 4-foot fence where it is now, is it okay for the board if I go with the 4-foot fence or the movement of the 6-foot fence?
Yeah, if it's a 4-foot fence and it's 50% solid,
right,
you would not need a variance.
Okay.
And you could put that in just getting a fence permit. The board could move forward on Mr. Mizrahi's recommendation and give you an approval of the 15 foot from the property line, should you choose to do that.
Okay. I'd like to any get other that. Members?
Sorry?
Yes.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application with the recommendations of Jonathan.
I'll second it.
Thanks. Call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application as amended has been approved. We'll memorialize this in a written document and send that document to you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Let's move on to item number 825-ZB-16V, Sophia Arain.
Yes.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Sure.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
24 Ballas Lane, Piscataway, 08854.
And your name?
Sophia Arain.
Okay, thank you. Could you explain to the board why you're here?
We wanted to make sure everything was okay with us fixing a fence. We came to the township and we had the plans to show this fence. The corner of our property, when we bought the house, has the shed on the corner of the backyard on a cement base. And we were asking for a variance for the shed to stay there. It's been there on the most previous time. I'm not sure if it was ever moved or anything. It looks like the original location and the original structure for where the house is, similar to some of the other sheds that are in that same backyard. The variance, I believe, was asking for it to not be moved closer to the house. Is it, if it would move closer to the house, it would be next to the deck.
Okay. Jonathan, you want to jump in on this too, sir?
Sure. What is it that you keep in the shed right now?
Tools, lawnmower, all of the backyard mowing equipment, the raking, all of these things. A lot of the battery-powered equipment for cutting the bushes.
Okay. Do you have another space on your property to store this equipment and material?
No. Okay. The side is very narrow in terms of, we have two frontages, so there's no side that of the house that we can use.
Okay. So staff recommends that if this shed needs to be replaced or repaired significantly, mm-hmm. that you would have to move the shed into a conforming location.
Okay.
The same goes for the deck. If the deck has to be repaired or replaced substantially, that would have to be located in a conforming location.
Okay.
There's an overhang of the roof coming off the side of the shed. We'd like to see that removed as a condition of approval. Okay. Is that something you're agreeing to?
Yes.
Okay. And then once, if this application gets approved, you would need to go and seek out a permit for the shed.
Okay.
And that's all the staff has for this application.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
You're okay with that, Mr. Rain?
Yes.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments about this? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. Close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application. Getting a second?
I'll second it.
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ely?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved. We'll memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting, and we'll send that document to you. You'll need that to get your permit.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good luck.
You have a good night.
Okay, good night. Good night.
Okay, let's move on to item number 9, 25-ZB-20V, Wafik Gurgis.
Gurgis, you got it. That's right. Hello.
Mr. Gurgis, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Could I have your address, please?
Sure. 242 Grandview Avenue.
And please explain to the board why you're here.
Sure. Would it be okay if I use an exhibit?
Sure.
Okay. Please let me know when the board can see it.
I see. Shed variance request.
Yep. So essentially what I'm trying to do is get a larger shed. I am paying about $800 worth of storage each month, which has become financially burdensome to store materials that are frankly household materials, things that are from my mother's estate and a few other things. I've asked for a few key asks. I'm sure the board's aware of them. A setback variance on the front from the front to the back, as well as the side variance going down from 3 to 8 feet. The accessory structure is about a foot and a half taller than I think the 18 feet, and increasing building coverage to 21%. And just to give, essentially the shed I have now is just, it's full. It's got a lot of very heavy materials. And so being able to store has become more challenging. The garage at this point has become where we overflow, can't put the cars in there. So the desired sheds really get to two-story shed. There's a very competitive shed that's from a price perspective, makes it attractive. I've considered increasing the footprint of the shed, length times width, versus a two-floor shed, but that would increase the building coverage significantly on my yard. I only have 0.26 of an acre. It would take it from 21% to probably about close to 25 or 26%, if not more, and reduce walkable space. To achieve the objective, the only idea is to go up and go, to the second story approach. And those two floors require at least 8 foot per floor. And the top peak adds about 3 feet. That's the reason I'm asking for the relief on the height of the shed. It also requires a 16 foot wide structure because for it to be 2 feet, two floors, it needs to have that, that stability. Essentially the impact on my neighbors are two neighbors, specifically 12 Anita Drive and 240 Grandview. I've mapped them out to show you here from a Google view where the shed would be placed. It'd be approximately 11 feet from my structure, 11 feet from my house. And this shows the 3 feet here. It would be right in line with both of our structures. So if you look at the bottom diagram or the bottom picture, where it would be placed would be right alongside the same of the structure. So essentially you'd have both of them behind our structure. So the visibility of it to anybody else from a side perspective is only limited to 240 and 242 Grandview, our two properties. I've already spoken to the owner of 240, wouldn't even have asked for the variance, wouldn't have even gone forward if they weren't okay with it. They were totally fine with it. The only other person was Anita Drive. The perspective from Anita Drive, there's already a shed, current shed up here that blocks the vision, essentially, so they would not see it. And there's a large tree line of arborvitae that you can see here from this perspective. So it wouldn't necessarily be in their view as well. And again, both neighbors seem to be okay with it. The perspective from here is where it would be placed. So you can kind of see the frontage view. This is to the front of the property, tree line in the front. So again, not an affected party. Because it would be covered by the tree line, and there's no residents that would actually see it from that perspective. So all of the perspective essentially are covered. It would literally just be whether or not the township was okay with allowing me to have a structure of this size. There's more rationale, happy to share more. But the reason for the variance, the relief on the 8 feet to 3 feet from the side property is so that it'd still be able to use the walk, this distance here, the 11 feet, to be able to drive in, wood delivery, plan to do some other things in the future. It would require a vehicle to be able to get through there just temporarily for loading and unloading. I wouldn't be able to do that if we exacted the full 8 feet on the side variance, and I would not be able to hide the shed or accessory structure between the two structures so that they would sort of be within the house line if I were to go this full 60 feet of the setback from the front property line. So it's really meant to hide it by putting it between the two homes. That's essentially my point. That's what I'm trying to achieve. So hopefully the township will consider it.
Okay. Jonathan, you want to jump in here, please?
Sure. The trailer, the trailers that you have in the driveway right now that are being used for storage, is that the items that are being stored in there? Would that be safe to say that that would be installed in the shed?
So the trailer, one trailer is being sold. That second trailer, the larger one, is used as a toy trailer. So I use it to bring my my three-wheel motorcycle essentially to different places. So it's not used for storage right now. One of those is used for essentially, some things that I'm trying to get rid of, but that's not going to be something permanent. So it would not end up being placed inside the shed. The stuff in the garage would be placed in the shed. The stuff in storage in the two Cube Smart units that are costing me $800 a month, that would go into the shed.
Understood. You mentioned on your application that the shed in the, as shown on the exhibit, the top right corner of the property would be removed. In the slideshow that you just showed us, and as you described it, the shed would remain. So
no, it wouldn't. It would be removed. The idea is, I'm just saying that the obstruction of view, that's essentially the state now, the current state with the shed being there, already obstructs 12 Anita's view. So once it's removed, essentially what I'm saying is they're not disadvantaged in any way by the shed being there, because right now they're being disadvantaged by their view being obstructed by the current shed. The shed would be removed, but it would have a net effect, no negative net effect, I guess is my point, from their view.
Thank you for clarifying. I do think this would have a negative effect on the view from the front, even though you do have the solid fence, it's still going to be clearly visible from above. It's going to be impacting the character of the neighborhood. You're talking about bringing in firewood, using vehicles to bring in firewood. That implies a lot of firewood and other activities. So
a quarter or two.
Okay. So what other sorts of activities are you proposing? This is a residential zone, so I'm unsure what you're trying to propose.
Yeah, so the truck also is because there's a pool that I may have installed. If the shed is put there, I'd have to have a truck to be able to haul out the dirt, essentially. I don't expect trucks to be going in and out of there. The point there is just that I limit my ability to have service vehicles go in, say, to haul out dirt if we're digging out the pool, if we're dropping off firewood. I've got a bad back. Being able to drive it right to the back and being able to unload it right there is an easier thing. That's just the convenience of it. It's all I'm asking for.
Okay, Mr. Gerger, so you were granted prior approval in 2024 for the pool, but that's not yet been installed?
Correct, not yet. There's an order of this that I'm trying to do. As soon as I get approval, both permits will be filed, and then essentially the foundation will be laid out by the same contractor that'll also do the concrete for the pool.
I don't see a strong enough case for relief for the setbacks for a structure this size.
Okay.
I have to agree. This is a little bit more than a shed. When I see a shed, I'm thinking 10 by 12, something like that. This looks like a small barn. The worst part is it would set a precedent for other residents to come in. Once this size of a structure is built, how am I supposed to tell the next person that comes to me, says, oh, we can't put it in your yard when you already approved Mr. Gergert?
So, yeah, Mr. Cahill, understood. And this is a love it or list it situation. My wife and I are talking about whether we end up moving to Hunterdon County or not. And she said, just give this a try. If you can get what you want, then great. If you can't, then we go someplace else.
I appreciate residents understand our situation.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I had a question. I just want to make sure I understood this, Mr. Gerges.
Yeah.
The driving factor is actually financial because you're paying for storage. So this is you're looking for like a financial variance.
It's partly financial, but it's also just the convenience of being able to keep things on site, specifically at my house. Tools like, for example, I was showing here, snowblower, there's power washers, I probably shouldn't get into all the detail of the things that are in the shed, given this is recorded in public session. But there are things that, are pretty heavy, that putting it in a shed is definitely more practical. There are tools that aren't pictured here that are sitting in the garage that are sizable. Saws and miter saws and things like that. Yeah.
Now you're allowed to have multiple sheds. You have to get permits.
Yeah.
But if you kept the original shed and got a secondary shed.
Yeah. Mr. Weissman, thank you so much for offering that, and definitely appreciate the suggestion. I think the challenge I've got is if you look at the property here for the pool where it's going to be, having a second shed would just mean I'd have no place to walk the dog. And that would create other challenges. I think my wife would have other challenges. So I appreciate the idea. It's just, we've considered what it would look like to increase the footprint of having something that would stay within that one floor range. And it just limits what we can do with the yard. We only have 0.26 of an acre.
Any other members of the board have any questions? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone, you can unshare your screen, Mr.
Thank
Curtis.
You. Appreciate you.
I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
You can show up by raising a hand. No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. Mr. Gerges, it's a beautiful structure, don't get me wrong. But like I said, in good conscience, if I approve this, I have to approve any other application that comes down the pike in a similar situation. I just think it's a great looking structure. It doesn't belong in Piscataway or on the size of the property you have. I make a motion to deny this application.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
I appreciate the board's consideration.
Thank you, sir.
We'll send you a written document showing the board's vote.
Thanks so much.
Good luck, sir.
Bye-bye.
Let's move on to item number 10, 25-ZB-05V, Gindo JL Auto Repair.
Good afternoon, Board Chair, members of the board. My name is David Prasad, licensed attorney in the state of New Jersey from Bob Smith and Associates. Here tonight representing Gindo JL Auto Repair. The property is located at 1300 West 7th Street, designated as Block 124, Lot 3.01 in the GB zone. If you notice, there's three of us on camera right now. Mr. Lascano here is the applicant and the owner of Gindo Auto Repair, and this is his very good family friend, Grace. She is going to be acting somewhat as a translator tonight. Mr. Lascano has some trouble with English, so Ms. Braganza, Grace Braganza here, will be translating. So as I mentioned, the property is located at 1300 West 7th Street, Block 124, Lot 3.01 in the GB zone. The site is a corner lot on the corner of West 7th and Clinton Avenue. There's approximately 112 feet of frontage along West 7th Street and approximately 60 feet of frontage along Clinton. This site is somewhat of a unique site. It was originally a service garage that contained an automotive service station and a gas station, and that began around 1947. Since then, at some point in the past, gas pumps were removed, but the automotive service remained, the garage remained. Continuing today, the service garage is still on site, and the building consists of three service bays and a small customer reception area. The entire site is developed with the service garage and asphalt all the way to the sidewalk. And Mr. Lascano here was originally a tenant of the property, and he was a tenant since June of 2011. Earlier this year, he was given the opportunity to purchase the land from the prior owner and seeks to continue his business as the owner of the property rather than just a tenant. So tonight, the applicant is proposing to go forward with the service garage on the site. He is not proposing any structural changes or construction on site at all. And of course, if approved tonight, he will seek out the required permits for any interior renovations or anything else that he does on site. We are looking for a conditional use variance tonight. So under NJSA 40-55D, 70-D3, and there are also several bulk variances that are existing on site given the age of the property. For the record, I'll list out all of the variances that are required or existing. So minimum lot area where 10,000 square feet is required and 5,277 feet is existing. Minimum lot width where 100 feet is required and 60.11 feet is existing. Minimum side yard setback where 8 feet is required and 2.67 feet is existing. Minimum rear yard where 20 feet is required and 16.18 feet is existing. Minimum floor area where 2,000 feet is required and 1,593 feet is existing. A parking setback of 10 feet is required and there is no parking setback at the moment. There's a minimum distance from the street or property line to the car lifts, or 35 feet is required, and 26.97 feet is existing. Maximum driveway width where 30 feet is required and 35.92 feet is existing. Driveway distance to the property where 10 feet is required, 0 feet is existing. Off-street parking spaces where 9 are required and 0 spaces are existing. And minimum distance to residential zone where 50 feet is required and less than 50 feet is existing. Now, if you notice, everything that I listed out is an existing bulk variance or a condition of the conditional use. As mentioned, the site has been existing since 1947, at least as far as we can find it. So Mr. Lascano is just asking if we can continue the use on the property. So tonight I have two witnesses. I have Mr. Jose Lascano over here to my right and his friend, Ms. Grace Berganza to my left. She will be acting as a translator and he is the applicant for tonight. And I also have our planner, Mr. Higgins or Allison Coffin from James Higgins Associates. For the record, we have the planning report, the John T. Chadwick report dated March 27, 2025. And we also have the Piscataway staff report dated February 19, 2025. And actually we got one this morning from April 22, 2025, which is the one we'll be referring to. If the board has no questions of me, I'd like to call my first witness, Mr. Lascano and Ms. Brigham.
Yeah, please proceed.
Okay, I'll need to swear both of them in.
Sure. If you guys can raise your right hand.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give or about to translate shall be the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now could you translate that for Mr. Lascano?
Yes.
Can you translate my question, swearing him in, to Mr. Lascano?
Yes, correct.
Can you say it to host so he can respond?
Okay. What was the question,
sir? Do you swear to the testimony you gave?
Que si usted va a testiguar en este día.
Yeah.
He said yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
So, like I said, I will be asking the questions in English to Ms. Berganza. We practiced this a few times. We have the answers from Mr. Lascano himself. So, if it's okay with the board, she will give the answers that Mr. Lascano has already said, or if you want, she can ask him in Spanish and then he will give it to her in English and then we'll say it again in English.
We can do it the way you suggest. And at the end, we'll just ask Mr. Lascano if he agrees with everything she said.
Absolutely. So you don't have to translate, just as we discussed earlier, just the answers that we already went over. Okay. So Mr. Lascano, what is your relationship to JL Auto Repair?
¿Cuál es su relación con Jindo Auto Repair?
Soy el dueño del taller ahorita.
No. I thought she was just going to answer.
Yeah, of course, you can just answer.
Oh. Right, you don't have to translate.
Oh, I don't have to translate. Okay.
Questions, so, otherwise, we'll be here till 2 in the morning.
Yes.
Okay. So he's the owner and principal of the company Jindo Repair.
Okay. So what is the reason for the application here tonight?
Okay. I recently purchased this property in January of 2025 with the intention of owning the site for my mechanic businesses. I was a tenant for the building for approximately 13 years, and I had the opportunity to purchase from my former landlord.
And is it correct that you intend to use the site as a mechanic shop? If approved tonight,
I intend to continue using the site for my mechanic shop and to run it for my family. I do not want to make any structural changes or do any construction to the existing building.
Okay. And just so for the satisfaction of the board, can you please let us know what the intended hours of operation will be for the site?
Yes, the hours of operation will be Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. and Sundays close.
Okay. And at the moment, you have no employees. It's just you that will be operating out of the site.
Yes, he's only himself, but in the future, 2 employees.
Okay. I have no further questions for this witness. If the board would have any questions.
Any members of the board have any questions at this point? No, you can proceed.
Okay, I'd like to call my next.
Good. Before you call the next witness, is who's going to address the reports?
We will go through it at the end. Me and the planner can go through it.
Fine.
Okay. For my next witness, I'd like to call Mr. James Higgins or for James Higgins, James W. Higgins Associates.
Hi, my name's
Allison's here.
And I'll be playing the role of Jim Higgins tonight.
Okay, Allison is here.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, your name and address, please.
Allison Coffin. It's spelled C-O-F-F-I-N. We're at 14 Tilton Drive in Ocean Township, New Jersey. I'm a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. I'm certified by the American Institute of Certified Planners.
And you've appeared before this board previously.
Yes.
All right, Ms. Coffin, is it true that Mr. Lascano here has retained you for the services of planning testimony tonight?
Yes.
Okay, and I will not get in your way. If you can please explain to the board the variances that we're seeking and the justifications.
Sure. The applicant is requesting bulk and conditional use variances to continue to use the site for a service garage. The site is a 5,277 square foot corner lot at the corner of Clinton and West 7th Street. It's occupied by the service station garage and has been occupied by such since 1947. Another service station designation, which involved both the sale of gasoline and auto repair services, had been abandoned, but the use has continued to operate as a public garage, just the service aspect only, including the sales of automobile supplies, automotive repairs, subsequent to the removal of those gasoline sales. The use is in the GB zone, and the ordinance permits service stations and public garages as conditional uses in this zone. The site, as it currently exists, does not meet several of the conditions, so they're requesting variance relief for those. One is that fuel pumps, car lifts, and other service appliances shall be located 35 feet from any street line or property line, and the existing car lifts are 26.97 feet from a property line. The next is that driveways shall cross the sidewalk at right angles and shall not be more than 30 feet in width. Driveways must be at least 10 feet from the property line and 20 feet from the intersection of street lines. And the driveway as it currently exists is 35 feet wide and is 0 feet from a property line. And the last is that service stations and public garages should not be within 50 feet of a residential zone. And this is located within 50 feet of a residential zone. There's also a bunch of pre-existing bulk variance conditions which are not being altered by this application. It's my opinion that special reasons exist for the granting of the requested variances, and the variances can be granted with no detriment to the health, safety, and general welfare. Special reasons exist for the granting of the requested D3 variance from the conditional use standards. The New Jersey Supreme Court, in the case of Coventry Square versus the Westwood Zoning Board of Adjustment, held that the standard of proof of special reasons to support a variance from one or more conditions imposed on a conditional use should be relevant to the nature of the deviation from the ordinance. In essence, the Supreme Court stated that conditional uses are those which are permitted to a zone subject to the imposition of certain specific conditions. So boards should analyze the nature of the condition, the extent of the variance, and make a determination regarding the grant of the variance based on whether or not the site remains appropriate for the use despite the deviation from the ordinance. In this case, we have a proposed use that doesn't meet several of the conditions, but these are all existing deviations. The site has been developed as and used as a service station or a garage for nearly 77 years. While the previous removal of the gasoline pumps resulted in the elimination of the service station designation, the site does continue to be a public garage as currently defined by the ordinance. Consequently, while the abandonment of gasoline sales may have changed the service station designation of the use, the existing repair shop use has not been changed, and it is this use for which the existing structure was built and is most suited. There is significant hardship since the D3 conditional use variance standards that we're looking at are all pre-existing non-conforming conditions, which cannot be reasonably reduced or eliminated. The site is fully developed and all surrounding sites are also fully developed. Consequently, there's no possible way to correct the deficiencies in a manner that would be beneficial without there being significant modifications to both the subject site and possibly surrounding sub-sites. The proposed variances will not impede the ability of the site to function with the use despite the deviation from the ordinance requirements. Here, the granting of the variances would not change any of the existing conditions on the site, and so there'll be no significant negative impact, and the use as it currently exists is limited to the sales of lubricating substances, accessories, and the repair of motor vehicles. The elimination of the gasoline sales, which had been done previously, included eliminating additional employees, stacking vehicles at pumps, a larger pricing and product identification signage, and multiple traffic movements into and out of the site. That significantly reduced the intensity of the use of the site. And so the continuation of the nonconformities at this lower intensity, the site can easily accommodate it. As the site can accommodate the intent of the conditional use standards, designed to manage the potential impacts that would be associated with the use despite the deviations, it's my opinion that the positive criteria have been met. As for those bulk variances, they're all existing conditions. They can be granted under the C1 hardship standard as they cannot be reasonably cured or reduced. And the last test for a variance is whether or not it would substantially impair the intended purpose of your master plan and zoning ordinance. And in this case, we have a site that's operated as a public garage for 77 years. It predates the ordinance. And despite this use existing both as a service station for most of that period of time and as a public garage for all of that time, the surrounding sites have developed in a manner consistent with the zone plan, and there has therefore been no substantial detriment to the zone plan or the surrounding sites and uses from the presence of the garage on this site. As the site can accommodate the use, and it's appropriate for the zone, and it's my opinion that the development is consistent with the larger intent and purposes of the master plan. So therefore, it's my I'm good.
All right. Thank you, Allison. If the board has any questions, I don't have any direct questions for Ms. Coffin right now.
At this point, I'd like to have Ms. Rahi give his opinion.
Thank you. I'd like to look at the cumulative impact of the impact of the site and the variances that are being requested here. It's my opinion that the site isn't particularly suitable for the use. It's woefully undersized. There's no parking that's currently being proposed as a part of this plan. So when we do get to the point where there's multiple employees, it's going to create a traffic and a safety hazard. I also think that the site just cannot accommodate the use. There's a number of physical improvements that would have to be undertaken, and it would not serve a benefit to the public use. It would be a detriment to the surrounding uses, the neighboring residential uses.
If I can respond to Mr. Mizrahi.
Yes, please.
So the site has been operating as a commercial use, a service garage for over 77 years. As far as we know, there have been no incidents on the site. Understandably, we do know that there's two entrances to the site, and there's where they park the vehicles that they want to work on, or that customers will go and drop off their vehicles. This is not a place where people come in. As we said, the gas station has been removed. So it's not a place where cars are consistently coming in and out of the site. It's a place where a customer will come, have an appointment, meet up, ask for services, and the staff will put, or Mr. Moscano at the moment, will park the car on the site in a reasonable way. To address one of the concerns that was on the staff reports is that there's two entrances. Ms. Lascano is perfectly accepting of removing that entrance on Clinton Avenue, adding the curb and sidewalk. And that way that will limit the amount of possible entrances onto the site and have a clear path and clear circulation plan that will allow cars to be dropped off to be repaired. And as we stated, this has been there for 77 years. Ms. Lascano has been there for 13 years, and he just purchased the site with the idea of continuing his business with his family. So understandably, it has not been a detriment to the neighborhood, and it provides a service to all that are around it.
My response to that would be the negative impacts might have been tolerated, but not necessarily accepted. And just because it's been in use for 77 years, doesn't override the standards of today.
Understood. But as we said, it actually was operating as a mechanic shop even up until Mr. Lascano purchased the property. And he believes that, you know, this is a place where he's run his business for quite some time. As an independent small-time business owner, now as a property owner in the town, I believe this gives him a great opportunity to provide better services to the township. And even if it doesn't meet the standards of what the conditional use is, it's still in the intent of the master plan and the zoning ordinance.
Okay. John, do you have anything you want to add?
She addressed the one comment I spoke about in terms of improving the site circulation and pedestrian traffic flow. They're willing to do that. They did not address any landscaping, very limited opportunities, but I think there's some spots that can be landscaped to improve the overall appearance.
Yes, and if it does any place to the board, we can address both the Chadwick report.
One thing I didn't put in, and there wasn't anything on the plan that indicated, there's no new signage proposed, correct?
No new signage proposed. If a new sign is proposed, they will comply with the signage ordinance, absolutely.
The only thing I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, is if there is any public comment on this.
Yes, I agree. We'll wait till all the testimony is in. Any other members of any questions? Okay. Mr. Prasad, you can proceed.
So just for the record, I'd like to address the memorandum from the Piscataway Township memorandum from April 22nd, 2025. Okay. All of the conditions are acceptable to Mr. Lascano. We will go forward and we agree with every one of the conditions. I believe there are nine. And we also agree with all the conditions and comments from Mr. Chadwick's report dated March 27,
2025. Thank you. Is that end of your testimony?
That is the end of my testimony. Okay. I would just like to say, again, I know I've said it a bunch of times, Mr. Lascano is a new time property owner. He has been doing this in this site for 13 years and wishes to continue with him and his family as a family-owned business in a good town. And in a town where automotive services are needed, and the community would greatly benefit from having an automotive service center where it is and where it has been. I ask that if the board can look favorably on this application, Mr. Lascano is a small-time independent business owner and just trying to make it better for him and his family. And if it is the board's inclination to not approve this application, or if there's any hesitance at all, please, we would adjourn. We'll carry to the next meeting. We would work out anything that needs to be worked out with the township before going forward.
Let me see what the residents have to say before we go ahead and do that. No other members of the board have any comments or questions. I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
Can I either raise your hand or unmute yourselves? No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'm of a mind to do exactly what you said, Mr. Prasad, at this point. Having heard the testimony of my experts here in the township, I was leaning towards denying. But at this point, if there's some way that the two of you can either find common ground or make some adjustments, I think that would be the best move at this point. I say we do move it to another meeting.
Understood. We'll accept that from the board, absolutely.
Okay.
So, Laura, what would we be looking at? May 22nd?
May 22nd, yes.
Is that acceptable, Mr. Prasad?
Yes.
Okay. So anybody here in this application, it's going to be continued to May 22nd, 2025 with no further notice by the applicant. The only notice you're receiving is my announcement here tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, members of the board. Have a great night.
See you in a couple of weeks. Let's move on to item number 12. Which is 25-ZB-14V, Norma Pena.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board and board consultants. Erica Edwards, land use and zoning lawyer here in New Jersey, appearing on behalf of the applicant, Norma Pena. We have two expert witnesses this evening, our architect, Maria Nevedo, who is on the screen right now, and our planning consultant, Mark Remsa, who is also online, and the applicant herself is here as necessary. If you will allow me, we will we'll let you have you swear our experts in, and then I can qualify them and we can get underway.
Okay, we have Mr. Remsa and who else?
Mr. Nevado.
Mr. Nevado, are you both present?
Yes, they are.
Yes.
I hear one.
Yes, here.
Okay, could you each raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth?
I do.
Okay, one at a time, your name and address, please.
Mario Nevado, N-A-V-E-D-O, 1208 Lansdowne Terrace, Plainfield.
Thank you.
Mark A. Remsa, address is 10 Dewberry Court, Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll start with Mr. Nevado. Mr. Nevado, will you provide your educational and professional credentials for the board, please?
Good evening. I am a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey. I have my license since 2018, and it's in good standing.
Okay, Mr. Nevado, have you testified before this board before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and you've testified at other before other land use boards in Middlesex and surrounding counties?
Yes.
Okay, we offer Mr. Nevado as an expert in the field of architecture.
Please proceed.
Okay, very good. Mr. Nevado, have you, I understand, or have isn't it true that you have been to the subject property 8 to 10 Church Street to examine it?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Isn't it true that we have your plot plan here as a submission to the board? Is it your desire to mark this, Mr. Keneally?
No, if it's part of the submission package, it's already part of the record.
Okay, very good. So, Mr. Nevado, this is the plan. Your plan was submitted, the as-built of 8 to 10 Church Street, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And would you please describe for the board when you did examine the structure in preparation for preparing this as-built, what did you find when you toured the structure?
So I basically find that this structure is composed of a two-family duplex unit. Is roughly 2,845 square feet unit. And the two units are basically a mirror image of each other, where you have an enclosed porch at the front, living room, dining room, kitchen, towards the back of the property. And then on the second level, you have three bedrooms and one bathroom.
Okay. And is it your professional opinion that when this structure was built, well, first of all, do you know when it was built?
It is 1928.
Okay. Is it your professional opinion that when this structure was built in 1928, based on the way it's constructed, that it was in fact constructed as a two-family structure at that time?
Yes. It is my professional opinion that the structure, its layout was built for a two-family configuration. They have separate entrances, separate utilities, meters. Yeah.
Okay, very good. That's all the direct I have of our architect.
Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, you can proceed, ma'am.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We'll move on to Mr. Remsa. Mr. Remsa, would you provide your educational and professional credentials for the board, please? Mr. Remsa, you're muted.
I'm sorry. Am I now?
Yes.
We can hear you fine.
Okay. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and board members. I've been in the field of planning for over 45 years. In the state of New Jersey, I'm licensed as a professional planner and landscape architect. Both licenses are in good standing. I have a master of city and regional planning. I have a master of business administration with a concentration in finance. And I also have a bachelor of science in environmental planning and design.
I have appeared before numerous planning boards and zoning boards throughout the state of New Jersey, including this one. And I also currently serve as a municipal planner for several municipalities. And I've also appeared before New Jersey Superior Court and have been qualified as a...
Your credentials are fine, sir. Let's proceed.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Remsa. Please proceed.
Yes, yeah, so I visited the site. I observed similar things that Mario has. The property is located on Church Street, 10 Church Street, the block and lot numbers. Block is 1005, lot 24. The lot is a little over 9,000 square feet, has a driveway, a very long driveway for multiple cars and parking, and a garage in the back. It's in the R7.5 residential zoning district. The surrounding land uses, they're all single family detached, except for the one parcel that's next to us to the west. That is also a two family dwelling as well. I did check out and verify that on the tax card of the township that it was built in 1928, and it also records it as a two family. So in terms of the planning framework, this has essentially been a two-family home for over 90 years. There's been no abandonment of the use. It's been continuously used. So we're here either to get the non-conforming certification, or if we're talking about a use variance for this two-family dwelling in a single family. In terms of promoting the municipal land use law, in terms of the positive criteria, I find several purposes are advanced by this application. NJSA 40:55D-2 G to provide sufficient space for appropriate locations for a variety of uses, in this case, residential. In this case, it's been a two family for almost a century and has been fitting into the surrounding area. Also, I to promote a desirable visual environment. If you do see the property, it has been upgraded. The house is in excellent condition, and so is the property. J, to prevent urban sprawl. In this case, it's been a two-family in a residential district, and also M, efficient use of land. And then I bring it all back with A, that it promotes the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Site suitability. In this case, it's been suitable as a two family for over 90 years. It has separate entrances. It supports the two family unit. It has sufficient off street parking, has that very long driveway and a two car garage at the very end. So it can easily support the two family dwelling. In terms of the negative criteria, we have to look at the impact on surrounding properties. I see no negative impact to any of the residents. And finally, in terms of your reconciling with the master plan, you have an overriding goal, and that's to preserve the character and quality of existing residential neighborhoods. And in my opinion, this two-family home that's been there for many, many years does that.
Okay. Jonathan, would you chime in?
I appreciate the testimony of the two professionals. I just want to make a point for the board that if a D variance is sought, there's a number of nonconformities that would have to be addressed or conditioned, but certification of nonconforming use, if they're proceeding as that, as their primary nature of the application, that would be acceptable.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, I have only one comment. If you approve this, I would have it subject to certification of fire, carbon monoxide and fire alarms. Didn't show anything on the plans.
Is that acceptable, Ms. Edwards?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments or questions? Ms. Edwards, I'm going to go to the public portion at this point. I'm assuming you're done with testimony.
Okay. We are.
Okay. Open up the public portion. Anyone with any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second it.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
You've been granted your certificate of non-conforming use. We will memorialize it at our next meeting and send that document to you. Good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members.
Good evening. Thank you. Have a good evening. Let's move on to item number 13, 25-ZB-17/18V. Kristen Loria.
Good evening, members of the board, board professionals. My name is Tim Arch. I'm an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey. I'm here representing 285 Stelton Road. Applicant is Kristen Loria. She's the owner and proprietor of John and Jones Road Stand. We're here tonight seeking permission to add a 8x16-foot commercial trailer with a 3x6 concession window, which would house an oven and some sinks for the purpose of baking off pies to be sold at the road stand. Also to serve as a point of sale for coffee and refreshments for patrons who are visiting the road stand. We were in front of you not too many years ago and were granted a use variance to continue the farm use on site. This is a technical intensification of the previous granted use variance. Really, to state it plainly, the question for the board is whether the addition of this amenity would in any way be detrimental such that it would negatively impact the prior approval. The trailer, as you'll hear, is it's movable. The eventual goal is to be able to take it off-site to events. But while it's on-site, we've made sure that it's going to be sitting in a position or in a place on the property that respects all of the setbacks for accessory structures. So there's no bulk variance relief needed for any of that. The only variance that we're seeking is for the inclusion of a sign or a logo that's going to be on the outside of the trailer. We've provided a mock-up with our application to indicate what it would look like. It's relatively modest. It's not going to be the maximum. It would be a 16 square feet in total size. We haven't decided whether that's going to be a mountable sign or a decal on the side of the trailer. But in either way, that's what we are requesting. There are two reports that we'll address tonight. One is Mr. Chadwick's report, which is dated April 16th, 2025. The other is the tri-party staff report, which is dated April 10th, 2025. I only have one witness tonight. That's Kristen Loria, again, the owner and proprietor of John and Jones. I think we can address all the comments and the reports through her testimony. With that,
sure. Proceed, please.
If we can have Ms. Kristen Loria, please unmute and be sworn in, please.
Ms. Loria, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do, yes.
Your name and address, please.
Kristen Loria, 8 Ruth Place, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you.
So, Kristen, number one, is everything that I've said so far accurate?
It is, yes.
Okay. So briefly tell the board why it is that you want to add this amenity to the road stand.
Well, I've had many customers ask through the years for fresh pies. And also, they've also asked for coffee and things like that. And, you know, we see it at a lot of other farm stands and ones that I've visited, obviously a little bit outside of here because there's really nothing like us around. And I just wanted to be able to offer those things as well to our customers. So this was a great way to offer the ability to bake off pies and things like that to sell in the road stand, and also to have with the concession window sell coffee and maybe some single apple cider donuts, things like that as well to our customers as they're browsing, you know, the road stand. And my daughter actually had worked for, she was a waitress, a bartender for 6 years over at Gabriel's, and she's gotten into barista work, so she enjoys that. And so with her on board as well, that would be a great opportunity to offer both of these services for our customers. That's really it in a nutshell.
So you're bringing her into the family business as well. You're training her to take
it. Yes. Right? She had my first grandchild, so the bar scene is really not, you know, that type of thing. So she got so into the barista stuff, and she's really good at it. Cool.
All right, so let's talk about the sign and the decal. We did provide an example. You would agree this is going to be either affixed to the trailer some way, and it's not going to be any larger than 16 square feet. Is that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Okay. No, let's real quick go through the reports, just make sure that we can address everything. So in Mr. Chadwick's reports, one of the comments he made is whether there was going to be any seating provided. Can you please address that quickly?
Well, there really wasn't any official plans, although I would be nice to have like a little bench or maybe a small like cafe style table with maybe a couple of chairs if somebody wanted to just relax for a moment and sit down. You have some people that stop in maybe on their lunch break or what have you for just to pick up a couple items. Maybe they wanted to sit for 5 minutes, look at their phone, and you know, but nothing fancy and nothing official in nature. But it would be nice to have a little bench or something there.
Okay, and just so the board is aware, Mr. Chadwick indicated that he would have no objection to a sort of small seating area in that okay. area.
Sure.
One of the things is we'll of course abide by all the prior conditions of the original use variance. Is that correct?
Yes, of course. Okay. Yes.
So moving on to the tri-party report. So we're agreeing to abide by all the accessory setbacks. One of the comments was whether or not there's a need for a generator. Can you address that as well?
Well, I don't, there wouldn't be on site. I'm actually speaking with an electrical engineer to have a dedicated power source while on site, because I wouldn't want a generator there, the noise, the maintenance, the uptake. If we were to take it off site, obviously, if needed, we would have to have a generator off site, but not on site. I had no plans for that. And we would, you know, now I'm in talks with the engineer to hopefully we can get the necessary permits and things together for that.
Okay, great.
For a dedicated power, you know, the power line or what have you.
And of course, you agree to abide by all applicable health, sanitation codes, all that sort of stuff, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And the final comment on the tri-party report was concerning the fiber optic lines. Just so that the board is aware, we've already actually reached out to the administration to discuss specifics as to that, as to the timing and the installation of that. And I think it was determined that the best way to address that was through a developer's agreement. I've provided a proposed draft already to Mr. Keneally. So we certainly agree to address that condition by way of a developer's agreement. Is that correct, Kristen?
That's correct, yes.
And I have received your developer's agreement.
Okay. I have no further.
I have a quick question. Kristen, would the truck be operating outside the normal hours of the stand?
Oh, no, absolutely not. In fact, it may be even shorter than our road stand hours. So
I'm not open at night for, you know, yuppies or whatever.
No, none of that.
Yuppies?
None of that. I mean,
it's not even a term anymore, is it? I'm showing you how old I am.
Generally our hours are like till 5 on the weekends, till 6 during the week, and so it would never go over that. In fact, you know, it might be 3 or 4, you know, it wouldn't be over the hour.
Okay. Jonathan, was your generator question answered?
Yes and no. It raised another question. So a dedicated permanent power line would effectively limit the location of the trailer on site when you're trying to use that dedicated power source, correct?
Yes.
So that would have, that location of the power source would have to be sited in a way so that the trailer, when tapping into this power source, would not be encroaching on any setbacks.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so that's something that we'll have to, when that application comes in, for the power source, that's something that's going to have to be reviewed and approved by staff, because that's going to effectively limit the portability of the trailer on site when it's in use.
Okay. So that's perfectly fine. Yeah, there would have to be appropriate permits to run any of those lines anyway.
That makes sense.
Ensure that we're not violating any setback variance when we do that.
Any other members of the board have any questions or comments?
I just have one. I want to pin this sign down. You said you would comply with the township's requirements.
Yes.
But it would seem logical. It's like my comment with the picnic tables and chairs. Just seems like it was logical to have it there. Wouldn't it be logical to have this sign out by the street? Instead of a decal on the trailer that's in the back of the lot?
Well, we could hang maybe a little sign on the fence or something. I don't, you know, as well, you know, like a little.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could just add to your sign now.
And right. Maybe, but, you know, that's a possibility as well.
And that doesn't conform either. So maybe it just adds the board. You're going to add a little coffee donut sign on your existing sign. Just so you don't get to be everybody coming back and seeing us.
Mr. Chadwick, I can tell you, we certainly want it on the trailer so that when it's off-site, obviously that's going to be advertised when it's off-site. If the board is willing to grant us relief that we can modify the existing stand or the existing sign that's out there to also include you know, a reference to this concession area, we're perfectly happy to take that relief as well.
The way your client just described it, in my mind, would be fine. And it would fit the character of what's there.
Sure. And it's good advertising.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application? You're muted. Uh-huh.
Nope. According to okay. You're muted. Yeah. Anyone, you could raise your hand or unmute yourselves. No one, Chairman.
Okay. Close the public portion, and I would make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second it.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Arch, will memorialize this at our next meeting.
Thank you so much, everybody. Get your pie orders in.
Oh, thank you. Apple, appreciate by the way. It.
Have a good night.
You got it. Thank you.
Night, everybody.
All right, let's go on to item number 14, adoption of resolutions from the regular meeting of April 10th, 2025.
First resolution, Carlos Serrano, which you voted to approve. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
1600 West 4th Street, this was to modify a condition of approval. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next, Rebecca McCarthy, which you voted to approve. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Ronco Development. This is a resolution of withdrawal. We need somebody to move it and second it, please.
I'll make a motion to remove.
I'll second.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio? Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next, Ronco Development, also withdrawn. I need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions for this evening.
Let's move on to item number 15, adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of April 10th, 2025. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Move on to item number 16, adjournment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Once again, everybody, thank you so much. Enjoy this nice weather.
Have a good Take evening, care. Everyone.
Next meeting is May 8th.
May 8th, right,
everyone.
May 8th.
Can't wait.
Okay. The way the calendar looks. So, see you in a few weeks.
All right, bye.
Good night.
Good night.